Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Control Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. That's the number you can call to bring up whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there is no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And with you in the studio tonight and remotely, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
And nobody. And reminding you that the fee to get on the next blockchain, the next block on the blockchain, the BTC blockchain, is $6.
Wow.
If you wanna make transfers, if you wanna end the system that we have today, you're not gonna do it with $6 fees. Bitcoin is BCH.
Bitcoin Cash, right. I just saw that Bitcoin went up to 72,000. I think that's another record. It's been hitting past its records recently. That's interesting to people. I mean, it's nice when it goes up to me, but ultimately I think the most important thing about cryptocurrency is being able to use something that is sound that is not the U.S. dollar, and that is defunding its wars. I don't like to give money. I don't like to give them a tip for killing people in the Middle East. But in other international news, German police are raiding people, like raiding their houses, who are suspected of posting misogynistic hate speech online. Can you imagine? You post some, even if it is actual misogynistic, hateful speech online, and the cops raid your house. That's absolutely terrible and crazy.
The injustice of the whole gender thing is so manifest in that men and women are not the same. There are differences between them. They feel comfortable in different circumstances. And, you know, men who are men, who are decent men, act a little bit differently when women are around. They're a little bit quieter. They're a little bit more polite. They're a little bit more reserved because it helps to make women comfortable. Well, what they've done with the so-called equality in employment is they have declared that every workplace in America must be comfortable for women, which means that no workplace in America must be comfortable for men, okay? And that is absolutely absurd.
And also, you know, men used to protect women. Like,
yes.
There's videos of women being assaulted, like, in subway trains. There is, I guess, some... I didn't see this video, but certainly there's something about some woman was getting raped, I guess. And, like, people are just, you know, looking at their iPhone. There's, like... There's, like, actual, like, you know, what it looks like a man might just be a city at soy boy that, you know, isn't going to do nothing about it. But, like, there's literally cases where women are being assaulted and Nobody's doing nothing about it because the men are just, you know, they're afraid to even try to, you know, defend women. And there's this whole thing with culture going on where, like, you know, like if you open up a door for a woman, they get all upset at you sometimes for opening the door up for them. Like,
I don't know if that's the same problem. I would say that the men don't want to protect the woman in that case because they're afraid they'll get beat up. It's like when you're in a city and you just like, I just am minding my own business. I don't care what you're doing type thing, which is also like a societal problem. But I'd say those are two different problems. It's not like the woman's going to get mad at him for stopping her rage.
I think there's a connection, though, because there is a segment of women, the radical feminist, the third wave feminist, that is that makes it very clear that she hates me for being a man. The fact that I am a man is an offense to her. The fact that I will not be a woman, that I cannot be a woman, is offensive to her. My existence offends her. And when I see a person like that in danger, I have absolutely
how were you
no
able
desire
to, tell that she was
to
that
defend
way?
Her.
So how were you able to ascertain that she was that way just because you saw her on the subway getting raped? See, this is the exact same problem as, like, but there aren't, not every black person, not every Mexican person or whatever is walking around thinking, every white person I see is racist. But there are tons of them, and they'll admit it on the internet, so it's not like I'm making it up. They admit, like, oh, every time I go out in public, I just know all white people are racist. It's like slowly, like, people will accidentally say things in front of me sometimes. Because, like, in San Antonio, I was a minority being white. There are more Hispanic people than white people there. So sometimes people would, like, my boyfriend at the time's little sister one time said, like, look at all the white people. Just kind of forgetting I was white. So, yeah, there are definitely people that walk around assuming every person of some race is against them. And I think that you are kind of doing the same thing by assuming all women are this third wave feminist and would hate you if you helped her not be raped anymore.
I don't assume that all women are of that description at all. And frankly, there have been many times that I have stepped into to help somebody or to protect somebody. But the thing is, we're no longer in a high trust society where you can just assume that people generally have goodwill for you. And if I don't believe that you have goodwill for me, then the chances of my putting my life on the line to defend you are slim.
I've just got to say, the chances that soy boy was thinking like that and not just, oh, I don't want to stick my neck out. I don't want to other people to think weirdly of me, and I don't want to be brave right now because he's a soy boy, and that's literally what the definition is probably more likely what was going on.
And you know, if it's a guy riding on a subway, for example, in like Manhattan or Baltimore or Chicago or LA, he's probably a classic soy boy. You know, I mean, if he was a real man, he'd be probably driving his own car or truck or something. He wouldn't be in the city. He'd probably be in rural America, not like, you know, I mean, and, you know, if he's, you know, and the other thing too is, you know, you got to think you're in there. How many of that, you know, rapist buddies are in there, or how many people are going to defend him?
Yeah.
And, you know, and the other thing, too, is you got like that Kyle Penny. He's a Marine, and he, you know who he is?
No.
He was the guy who subdued some madman on the subway. I guess he had smacked a couple of people and punched somebody, and he was going crazy saying how he's going to kill everybody. And this guy had like a major rap sheet, and he was some, you know, crackhead homeless guy, probably on welfare. That'd be interesting. And Daniel Penny subdued him, and he died while he was subduing him. And the guy had like a notorious rap sheet, and now this Daniel Penny guy is being charged with first-degree murder for subduing a violent madman.
That's so
And that's what happens
sad.
In New York.
That's definitely self-defense.
Right. It was absolutely self-defense, and he was defending others.
I would just never step foot in New York City, honestly. Sometimes I think about it, like, a friend is like, oh, you're not that far from New York, I'm not that far, well, let's drive there and, like, go shopping. And that does seem almost, like, tempting, but just being putting myself in that jurisdiction is terrifying.
Yeah, I don't see anything tempting about why. First off, why would you shop in New York City? It is the most expensive place to get things. It is the most dangerous place to do anything. You can't defend yourself. This knife I have on my side right here, this knife has a blade, you know, that is longer than, you know, like, this is an illegal knife in New York City.
Whoa.
And it's a heavy duty work knife is what it is. And it's illegal in New York City. And the fact that I wear it to where you can see it, it would be considered brandishing. I had a guy, when I was in Miami, who was from New York City, talk to me about how this knife would be, I would be going to jail for basically walking down the street with this knife and it's strapped in its sheath, the way I carry it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of the time I'm pulling it out to, like, cut bales of hay open and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's... You know, but that's what the problem in New York City is. Like, this is like a felony there.
That is a problem. This piece of metal. So crazy.
That's the thing I hate most about not being a human is that I don't have a right to keep and bear arms. I don't have a right to defend myself. I don't even exist because I'm a felon. I have no rights, no liberty. I exist because nobody has troubled themselves to kill me yet.
Mm. Yeah, that thing that doesn't have rights is not your flesh and blood man. It is the certificated person that they created for you that you that they have presumed that you've willingly and knowingly operated under, you know, the all capital letters name. But it's definitely a discussion for a different day.
Well, there are some really terrible free speech violations going on in Germany. Not that I necessarily think the Germans claim that they have free speech. Everybody has the same rights, as Jay is kind of alluding to there. But I think that even if you're a misogynistic, hateful person, I think you have the right to talk about it online, but apparently not in Germany because the police are raiding those people's houses. It says German law enforcement, and this is from abcnews.go.com. German law enforcement authorities on Thursday carried out raids across Germany against people suspected of posting misogynistic hate speech on the internet as part of a coordinated push to shine the spotlight on online violence against women. Wow, okay. That's a loaded term right there. So they want to say that speaking online is violence against women.
What is online violence? I've never seen an online boxing match.
Yeah.
There's no online MMA. And the reason is because online violence is impossible.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous that... It's like those people that say that they felt like they were raped because their sim, or whatever you would call it, on an AI game was, like, touched inappropriately, like, by a male sim. I don't know if you'd call it a sim.
As a person who has been sexually assaulted when I was a child, let me tell you that what you experience online when something you don't like happens is absolutely nothing like that experience.
Jesus, like, the idea that people come out with that type of thought process just for kind of like for attention, they feel exactly like they were raped because their online character was touched. It should be offensive to anyone who's been actually sexually assaulted. It's ridiculous. It's like watering down the conversation.
Just like what racism has been watered down so much, it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. Police raided homes and interrogated 45 suspects in 11 states early Thursday. I guess there are states in Germany. I didn't know that. None of the suspects were detained, Germany's Federal Criminal Police Office said in a statement. Another 37 suspects were already searched and interrogated in previous weeks and months. Wow, so this is crazy. 37 plus 45 of them. That's a lot of people. The raids were, if only we had TJ here to add that for me. The raids were part of a Combating Misogyny on the Internet Day of Action, which comes one day before International Women's Day. Wow, that's so gross.
37 plus 25 is 62.
Oh, it's 45, so I guess 82. 82 people's houses were raided, and it points out that they weren't put into or detained, but who cares? They had their homes raided. That's bad enough. I just really want to know what kind of posts there were. I wonder if it will give us any examples, because what could possibly be worth raiding someone's house that was posted on Twitter or something like that? I just can't
Running an anarchist talk show is obviously enough to get your house raided, because it happened to us 3 times and counting.
Yes, it does seem like that is at least a factor there. Like the week before they raided in 2016, claiming that they had proof that somebody visited a child porn website. Mark Edge was breaking the story that the FBI was adding servers to the Playpen website, which was a child porn website, adding servers and more content and making the website work faster and be larger. The FBI was doing that in the name of combating child porn. And Mark Edge was pointing out how ridiculous and disgusting that is. And then the week later, they raided the house claiming that somebody had visited that very website. That's just too much of a coincidence. It's ridiculous. So yeah, I do think that it's important that there is Free Talk Live. It's the only Liberty talk radio show in the nation. And also the only show I know of where anybody can get in on the air. Oh, speaking of which, it looks like we do have a call. Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
I just want to say that I'm so excited that our city has a taxi-like service provided for free for the bus service. I was just amazed. I heard...
Is it free or does somebody pay for it? Are these volunteers?
Well, the community pays for it, comes from our tax dollars, but the riders, it's for free.
Okay, so people who don't want the service are forced to pay for it so that the people who do want the service don't have to.
Well, it's for people that, what it is that it's for areas where it's not, they don't have enough ridership, where they have to have a full every hour a service, but there's people that want a grocery shop. They want to go to downtown. So it's for a certain area.
And they want to do that at somebody else's expense.
I'm a communist, so I'm all for this.
Yes, you want to live. You want me to be forced to work more so you don't have to work at all. That's what a communist is.
She already lied.
Okay.
She said it was free.
What about the shoes are on your feet? How come if you want to live on this west side remote area and then your car broke down, you don't have enough money for a car, don't you want a free bus service that takes you there, or do you want to ride a bike?
I want to situate myself in such a way that I can take care of myself. I do not want to situate myself in a remote place and then force other people to bear the cost of my existence.
Well, yeah, actually, this area, I used to live in this area, North Valley area, where they did have a bus service every hour. There are 2 bus services. And what it is that it's close enough to the city where there's people that want to ride the service, but it's not enough to have a full service line. And when we had a low drivership, we don't have drivers, they would not show up at all. So I think this is a really wonderful service, and I think you could call or do it on the computer. They don't force you to use a computer. So this is a lot of the elderly, low-income people that need all this. So what are you so against people that are working but don't make a lot of money getting some kind of help? Why are you so against that?
What I'm against is people being taxed into poverty so that people can be provided a service that is worth less than to the people who receive it than it costs to provide that service. Profit is the difference between profit is the difference between the value of what you created and the value you destroyed in creating the new value. When you create a finished product, you destroy raw materials. If the raw materials were worse, hey, shut up. If the raw materials are worth that you destroyed are worth more than the product that you created, then you are not in the process of creation. You are in the process of destruction.
Well, I think it's more. This saves more money in the long run because they only pick up people that need it. If there's only three people need three right that wet day to go to the grocery store downtown instead of running that route all day long, five times in the morning, five routes looping, and then pick up three people.
It steals less than the other way.
The buses are also run at the cost of unwilling slaves. So the fact that the question isn't should we do it in a way that requires the slaves to work less or requires the slaves to work more. The question is, should we be enslaving people in the first place? And a taxpayer is nothing but a part-time slave.
Well, you know what, Raymond, we would have used this service if we still lived there. We were thinking about going to these areas. You know what? He worked all of his life, paid taxes. Now he's 74, needs this taxi service, free service. So what's so wrong about that? People pay into all of this. All these people that are slaving that pay into this, when they need help, they get the help they need, and they don't charge them anything. You know, you're so mean about it.
Well, the proper answer is that you should pay directly for the things that you want instead of letting the kleptocrats steal your money and then counting on the kleptocrats to take care of you. Because the kleptocrats don't care if you live or if you die. And whenever you count on a government service, you are going to be paying more than you should pay, and you are going to get less than you should get, because it is run by kleptocrats, and kleptocrats live by theft.
Well, thank you for the call, Sarah. That's the bumper music, Sarah. Thank you for the call, and you can continue the fight another night. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. A former Trump administration official, ex-Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, is assembling an investor group to purchase TikTok from ByteDance. The House recently passed a bill mandating the China-based company's sale of the app, or it faces a ban in the U.S. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's recent remarks on Israel have drawn criticism from Republicans. Schumer labeled Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as an impediment to peace in the Israel-Hamas conflict and called for new elections in Israel during a Senate floor speech Thursday. House Speaker Mike Johnson denounced Schumer's comments as highly inappropriate and simply incorrect. Recent research in the British Journal of Sports Medicine reveals the most effective exercises for reducing blood pressure. Engaging muscles without vigorous movement, such as wall squats or planks, proves to be optimal for preventing and managing hypertension. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
You control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. Are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of the big tech social media sites? Our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. Social.freetalklive.com. And with you on the show tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
Uh-oh. Did we lose him?
And nobody.
And nobody.
Oh, there
Sorry,
we go.
I've been, I keep my microphone muted most of the time, so if I'm not Johnny on the spot with the dialogue box, it takes me a second to find it.
Okay. All right. Well, in the last segment, we were talking about German citizens having their homes raided because they said something mean online. And it's being billed as shining a spotlight on online violence against women. And I have yet to see an example of any of this on this article. So not much more to say about it, but it's pretty, I want to say hilarious, but also it's really worrying and scary. Like, of course, people think that, oh, it can never happen here. That's just something happening in tyrannical other countries. But most of the time, whatever one government sees that they monkey see monkey do in other countries, they're like, oh, that's a way to get more power.
Yeah, like Germany, all the European Union, Australia, New Zealand, you know, the United States, you know, Canada. They're basically all following the same, stuff. And, you know, the The United States, the only difference is you have a very heavily armed population.
Hmm.
But like you still in New York City, you know, you see it's just gotten radical because the population is not armed. And there's people in, you know, New York City who are left and right are, you know, being sentenced to all kinds of non-crime. You know, I've heard that there's people in the U.S. that are going to jail for producing memes and, you know, speech on the on the Internet. But it's definitely been a thing in the U.K. and Germany. There's actually a family. Several months ago, the Biden administration was deporting them back to Germany, and they've been here for 15 years, and they seek political asylum here in the U.S. because they're homeschoolers.
Hmm.
And in Germany, you can't homeschool, and I guess his family
Biden sent them back.
I don't know if they got sent back; they were appealing it, but and like a couple of their kids were born here, but they don't, you know, just like you know, Trump was quoted as saying like Haiti and. Venezuela? No, Haiti and Honduras were S-hole nations.
Oh, Trump, yeah.
And then, you know, the left came out, you know, it's like, oh, Haiti's so awesome. I guess, one of these commentators, I forget his name, Colbert or something, went down to Haiti and did this whole puff piece on Haiti and, you know.
Now there's cannibalism
going on there. And I mean, cannibalism will probably happen here in the cities. You'll probably get that in New York City, especially the people who can't leave because... You know, they've just been degenerated so much by the welfare system and the whole city life that they don't even think they can leave.
Hmm.
You know, they're
cannibalism and human sacrifice are already taking place in the United States. They happen through the government. When you consent to one of your neighbors being robbed to pay so that you can eat, that's cannibalism. That's human sacrifice. You're offering your neighbor as a human sacrifice so you can eat.
Sounds like Sarah.
So basically that's by putting your kids in public school. I tell people all the time, if you send your kids to public school, you're engaging in an act of violence against all landowners because, you know, they have to pay for that.
Yep, through property taxes. But it is a call-in talk radio show, and we have... David, also from New Mexico on the line. David, what's on your mind?
Horses.
Okay, what about horses?
I want to, first of all, I know had a friend, girl, my hot German girlfriend online. We would talk every day. She was dealing with all the stuff you're talking about in Germany and to the point where she was going to leave the country and go to Czech Republic. But anyway, horses. Jay, under the category of horses that are not just pets, like most horses are, you see them in behind people's fences and they're never, ever, ever, ever ridden. But, to have some working horses that actually do stuff, if a person, you know, I had horses when I was a kid, but I've wanted them all my life and I haven't ever gotten around to it, but I might, but, first of all, a breeding strategy. I mean, I lived on a farm. We had hundreds of cattle and hogs, and, you know, I know how to run that breeding strategy. But if you're talking about having, you know, some decent dollar horses, you know, to help offset your costs, you're going to have a small little breeding program and try to sell for $2,000, $4,000, $6,000, $8,000, a piece after you've trained them, ridden them for whatever, you know, 3-4 years, and then put them up for sale one by one by one. You know, you got mares and you got studs, and you either own the stud or you take the mares to a stud or you use the artificial insemination. What's a good breeding program for if you got a half a dozen? Say you got half a dozen mares plus or minus. And you either have your own stud or you don't. What would you do?
I wouldn't do any of that.
First of all, tell me why. That's yeah,
I just don't see how it can make any money. Now, if you have a way, to support this.
Wait a minute. The goal is not to make money. The goal is to have the horses.
Okay.
And the breeding is just to offset some expenses.
So I think you got to be careful not to flood your market, breed too many horses. You know, you don't want it raining horses. And there's a song by Core Blunt and the Hurt and Albertans called Rain and Horses. You should listen to that.
Oh, I thought you could say
I have already.
Raining
I've
men.
Been listening to Core. I've listened to Core Blunt for like the last 20 years.
Nice. Anyways, the breeding program is really, really difficult. And the thing is you can just go buy yearlings for like way cheaper than you can breed them. Way cheaper.
Even quality athletic animals.
Yep. I believe so. And so if like breeding is a passion for you and you can support it and you have the land, I don't know what, if you're in an area like where you have irrigation,
it's open range here.
Okay. Well, I don't, so you're not watering open range. I don't know how much grass grows, how much hay you got to buy. You got to put a lot of good quality hay through brood mares and yeah, lactating mares. So hay, like that quality alfalfa is like $600 a ton right now, from what I understand in Texas and Colorado. I don't know what it is in New Mexico.
Same.
Right. So it's expensive. So if you can graze your stock on ground that you can water, because you have irrigation rights there, or I don't know really how that works there, then it's a little more feasible. This is going to be a black hole you're going to throw a lot of money at. I've seen a lot of guys try to get into this like passion, and they end up, you know, feeding like, you know, 7-8, you know, yearlings, and then they have, you know, 2-year-old colts or fillies, and then they got the 3-year-old horses that are half trained, and the 4-year-old horses that are kind of made, and they're having a hard time selling them because they got too much into it. Now,
got it.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. One of the things I want to do when my kids are a little older is I am going to buy a couple of weanling Morgan horses. I'm going to buy some from some guys in Vermont that I kind of know that are breeders. I'm going to buy some nice yearlings. I'm probably going to pay good money for them, but I'm able to trade these guys in other considerations, so it'll work out okay.
First of all, what kind of price range are you talking about for, like I said, a quality athletic animal, not paying for somebody else to do all the training?
Yeah, this
just a
weanling. So I'm going to buy a pair of weanling colts. And I'm going to keep them studs for a little while, keep them, you know, intact. I'm not going to geld them until a little later in life because I want them to be a little muscly, a little beefy. We're going to work with them on the ground, and then I'm going to send them to an Amish guy for a spring, probably when they're like 2 or 3 years old, to really groundbreak them well, teach them how to drive. It's kind of like letting a farmer borrow your tractor. And so every time that we've sent like some of these kind of draft horses or horses we want to drive and do like logging or any kind of like, you know, ground, you know, pulling work with or driving work, you send them to an Amish guy for 2 months and they really come back just made. And then because I want to teach my kids to work with horses, but not just riding them, you know, we'll skid logs with them. We'll maybe pull a sap tender or maple syrup if we ever get into that. But, you know, pull the stone boat around a farm. I just want my kids to like get some brain development from that. Now, cost. I can tell you, you can go to this auction in New Holland, Pennsylvania, and you can buy these kind of, you know, Morgan type, Morgan cross. I kind of have a little, I like Morgans because they're light and they're good dual purpose. They're not like heavy drafts. They don't break down easy. You can buy these things at auction anywhere, depending on what's going on. Like if it's fall, you can buy them a couple years old and broke. For, you know, they'll bring as cheap as $1,200-$1,300. They'll bring as much as $4,000 or $5,000. It sort of depends on the day at the auction. I will expect to pay like somewhere around $2,500 to like $3,500 for like a really nice yearling from a good farm, a good breeder. These guys in Vermont that I'm a little familiar with, they kind of have like a high-end product. They're horses that are, they've been selling them for years. They're well known. They're you can go kind of any direction you want with them. You can make like Western horses out of these. You can go ride in English. You can go do dressage. And they're really like the best trail riding horses because they're Morgans. They're like 14-3. hands. Right. So like they're really easy to get on and off. They're the kind of horse that like you can be cantering down a trail and swoop down and grab your buddy's hat that fell off in front of you and just keep on going. You know, not
yeah, a lot
know.
Of guys out west like to use Morgans for their pack trips in the mountains.
Yep. So you're not going to take a Morgan horse and go team roping with them and, you know, hang on to like a 800, 900 pound steer. You're not going to calf rope with them. You know, you could calf rope with them, but you're going to, you know, you can hurt them too by because they have a lot of heart and you can overwork them. But it's all different. This horse business is really difficult. And, you know, the thing is, you know, 100 years ago, poor people had horses and rich people had cars and tractors. Today, you know, poor people don't have a car or a tractor and they don't have horses and only rich people have horses. And the cheap horse market is very, very erratic. If we're going into an economic downturn, it's hard to sell the cheap horses. And then it's really, really hard to get in the expensive horse market. It's easier to sell a horse for $100,000.
Are we ever going to be in an economic upturn ever again?
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
I've heard some people say that they don't think the housing market will ever burst anymore this time.
You don't think it'll fall anymore? It might not with all the migrants coming in, and I'm sure the government's going to give a whole bunch of money to the migrants to buy houses or whatever. But, I mean, there's all kinds of variables there. But, you know, the thing is, and to get into that niche market of selling, and it's basically a parasite class you got to sell $100,000 horses to and stuff. You know, it's very difficult. But if it's a passion and you have like two mares and you have a veterinarian come and AI them and you just keep the operation small to where like if you can't get them sold and you got to feed these things, and I wouldn't try to get too big into it at once. But if you have a community of like people who are like really into prepping, maybe, and you wanted to maybe breed some horses and maybe do some workshops on how to like, you know, utilize your horse as like the ultimate, because a horse is the ultimate EMP proof vehicle. If it's, you know, grid down situation and there's no fuel and there's no anything, I mean, that horse is going to be super valuable. Especially if you know how to use the horse and you practice with the horse. So if you were looking to sell like to that kind of clientele, that might be a thing. You know, you got some folks with some money, but there's also plenty of people out there sort of doing what you're, well, not really. Cause actually a lot of the breeders I know, they've just kind of, they're getting old and their kids aren't into it. It's kind of like farmers and it is a lost art. Same thing with horseshoeing. My brother's a professional farrier. And he gets calls every single day from people basically wanting his services, and he turns them down because he has so much work. He actually has more work than he wants to do. And my brother, who is Josh Noon, joshnoon.com is his website. You should check him out. He's a really good musician. Hoofsupport.com is his horseshoeing website. And he has three or four apprentices working for him pretty much all the time, and he keeps on churning out horseshoers himself. And he's got like 10 or 12 people now that have worked under him in like the past 10, maybe even 5 years, and they all got tons of work. So the wealthy people are going to have the horses. The crazy women, and this is just women, men too, that need the horses for the mental stability, which a horse is cheaper than, you know, a psychiatrist. If you're emotionally unstable, horses really provide a lot of stability for emotionally unstable people at a relatively low cost. You know, they're going to have their horses, and whether they're a pasture pup or they're being used every day, they need their feet maintained. So that's like another expense you're going to have. You're either going to have to learn how to shoe your own horses. If you have brood mares, you don't really need to shoe them. If you're not in a rocky area, they don't really need shoes. And especially if they're like Morgans, they got such good feet anyways. Think about the kind of clientele you're going to want to deal with too, you know, for your finished product. The really wealthy, you know, lawyers' wives, the dressage queens, they're very difficult. Do you know what a dressage queen uses for birth control, David?
Her personality.
That's right.
That's funny. Well, thank you for the call, David. I don't really know anything about horses, so I don't really have anything to say about it. I feel like you've gotten all your horse questions out from Jay by now. It's not really like a horse talk live type show.
And David can reach out to me directly, jay@jnoon.com. And, you know, if he wants to. But, like, I wouldn't recommend getting in that business right now.
Well,
the people who are most afraid of getting pregnant, though, will use their personality as their primary birth control. But in order to be safe, they'll use their looks as a second line of defense.
Some of those dressage queens are pretty hot. Actually, a lot of them are.
But then there are the other ones.
One reason that I asked if you guys think that the... wow, this isn't a full article. That's really annoying. One reason that I asked if you guys thought that the inflation was, or the economy was going to recover at all, is because right now the government is considering putting in a bill that would quote unquote end shrinkflation. I couldn't get that word out of my mouth.
So it means we're going to have a lot more of it if this bill goes through.
So do you guys know what shrinkflation is?
Yeah, it's basically when instead of raising the price of something, somebody cuts the size of the product instead.
Right, so there's no more half gallons of ice cream. They're all, 40-something ounces or 50-something? So originally it was 64 ounce for a half gallon of ice cream, if I'm doing my math right, and it's less.
But the price stays the same.
Or it goes up a little more, but yes.
Yep. So I think that's pretty freaking stupid. This from NBCBoston.com, it says, shrinkflation is hurting consumers at the grocery store. A new bill aims to stop it. And it's just, it's another example of the hundreds of examples of government trying to, quote unquote, fix a problem that they're actually going to make things worse, like you guys said. And also, they're just not actually striking at the root. Not that I want the government to strike at the root, but... the root cause.
The government is the root.
Exactly.
I'd love it if they attacked themselves.
That would be great if they took themselves out of the business of inflating money. Because that's the whole reason that shrinkflation exists. It's a company or a business that produces products trying to keep their products on the shelves while the money is being inflated.
And chances are the reason they're doing shrinkflation instead of just letting inflation do what it normally does is because the Democrats will threaten them over that, too.
And
Democrats will say, we're going to print more money, but you have to provide the same amount of stuff in exchange for the money that is now worth less. Because they reserve the right to steal from you. They are kleptocrats.
And the thing with food in the United States and in Canada, I don't know about Australia and Europe so much, but definitely United States and Canada, it is so heavily government subsidized, all the garbage food. So if you want to know the real price of, like, food, go to, like, a co-op, like Monadnock co-op we have here. We've got a couple of these co-op stores.
Yeah, it is way more expensive there, but
yeah, like the steak's
pretty
like
nice.
$26 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's basically what a farmer needs to get out of a porterhouse steak. To even the slaughterhouse that I go to, Adams Farm in Athol, Mass, they have a retail store. Their porterhouse steaks are $22.50 a pound, which is, like, I think the best cut. And they're, you know, they're pretty inexpensive on their bacon, but they do process a lot of hogs. They sell a lot of pork, and actually hogs are really cheap right now, you know, on the, like, open commercial market. But the real cost of food, is not, seen by the average consumer.
Because the farmers are getting so subsidized, they're allowed to make it cheaper.
Like beef, for example. The beef subsidy is insane.
Mm-hmm.
It basically works out, depending on how you crunch numbers and what numbers you use. I have a friend that did this research on it, that in 2020, I believe it was, the U.S. government subsidy on just beef worked out to be somewhere between $29 and $40-something dollars per pound of beef that got sold at the store. So when you see your tube of 10-pound tube of, you know, the worst possible hamburger you could probably buy, maybe McDonald's is even worse. Actually, the worst hamburger you can get is from Taco Bell, because all the Taco Bell stuff is basically, from what I understand, and the guys at the slaughterhouse have told me, and these beef buyers have told me, that when it gets rejected because it has E. coli, it goes back to these processing plants, and they buy it really inexpensively, and they just cook it. Whoa. And then they sell it to, like, Taco Bell and other fast food places as pre-cooked. And actually, a lot of that pre-cooked meat, this is why I was just, I don't like tacos. Mm-hmm. Like, anything taco seasoned, they got to season the heck out of it, because that taco meat is generally something that had been cooked multiple times and heated up. But they steam it or something to kill off the E. coli bacteria. And then a lot of it gets served in schools and prisons. And Taco Bell buys it, for example.
Wow. I thought you were going to just mention the filler, because that's another problem with Taco Bell. A lot of it is just not actually beef. There's a bunch of filler in that. Or I don't remember what it's made of right now.
So anyways, the thing with the Americans don't get is that, like, a box of cereal, for example, like, I was in the grocery store the other day, and you can buy, like, cereal for $4.99 a box, $3.99 a box. And for the input, what it takes to grow that crop, to process that crop, to package that product, to, you know, make the boxes, put it in a bag, you know, it's all automated, and it's, like, done, like, pretty inexpensively, because, like, General Mills and all these companies are, you know, have these massive assembly lines of stuff. That's expensive, and it's labor intensive. And I don't think money printing and government subsidization of the food is going to be able to keep up with inflation. And there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it. And I really want to see all these government subsidies stop, because food is so darn cheap. And if all the subsidies stopped, you wouldn't have cheap canola seed oil foods, because that stuff is actually pretty expensive. And what would happen is we'd go back to raising the kind of pigs I'm going to start raising next year, which are going to be more heirloom pigs, like the Tamworth pig that has a lot of fat on it. Mm-hmm. Because before the seed oils, everybody fried and used for cooking grease pig lard. Mm-hmm. And pig lard doesn't cause you all the health issues that seed oil causes.
It's been Free Talk Live. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on tomorrow and live Saturday. You can go to freetalklive.com for more. You can go to jnoon.com to check out the updates he was telling you about. Peace.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming. And that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.